Hi, this is Clarissa Jacobson from Lunch Ladies, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
200th episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Bob.
I'm Simon.
I'm the 195th episode of The Intern.
Okay.
You guys are 200. I've only been here 195. So what do you want?
Kevin has not been here all 200. He's only been here 199.
And we're recording on a special day.
I missed the first four. Then I missed another one.
And Kevin's missed two, I think.
I didn't watch the stupid movie.
And Kevin's missed two, I think.
Two, yeah. I think I'm just 190. Probably.
You've been fired three times, Dan. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, probably, right?
And who else has been on the show over the years?
Well, I tried to invite our old guests, but one is at a burlesque show.
That would be Joe.
One refuses to get Skype.
That would be Mark.
Nope, Karen.
Oh, Karen. You actually invited Karen.
Invited her. I made the effort. I sent her an email, everything.
I was shocked to hear that.
And Mark is AWOL. He's supposed to be. He said he was coming, and I think he fell asleep. He was camping all weekend, so.
Joe, I tried to message him.
I have numerous times.
No avail.
So I don't know where he is. Even though he just shared a link, so he must be still up. I don't know.
And then Debbie was on the show for a bit.
Well, Deb was the best, but she had a little problem. She's no longer with us. I feel bad for that.
Not the problem. A little bit more than a problem. And then we've got, we had your cousin.
Oh, my cousin. I should have asked her to come on. I didn't even think about it. She'll be back. She's planning on coming back on next time she's in town.
What was your cousin's name, by the way?
Savannah.
Savannah.
She'll come back. She'll come on the show anytime she's around.
Is she from Georgia?
No.
Okay. And then you've been busy. You've had all sorts of guests on the Extra Features Plus stuff, right?
Yeah, Extra Features interviews and 20 Minutes with Chad, which I have a really funny... I'll tell you the story now. What the hell? So, okay. I don't know. My daughter says she has free time during class. So I guess they do, and they're allowed to use computers.
Okay.
So she's got the whole class listening to 20 Minutes with Chad now.
Thanks,
brother.
And extra features.
Oh, okay.
So we have a group of grade fives are listening to us, guys, just so you know.
Hey, grade fives, people.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Nice. Should we allow them to watch the profanity?
I don't care. Say whatever you want.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck, right?
No, exactly. Bob doesn't.
Yeah.
How are we doing with our summer movie stuff so far?
I haven't even... Has anybody looked at their sheet? I haven't.
No. I mean, I know I'm losing, at least for my top pick, because Solo's not doing so well.
Incredibles, baby, is going to take it.
Yeah. Incredibles or Ant-Man, probably, right?
I actually think Solo is the only one that really anyone had in our top 10 that's still performing. And Solo actually isn't that bad.
It's going to be in the top 10 for sure.
It's just not like the mega hit that some people thought it was going to be.
It's not going to be number one. No. Pretty sure Ocean's 8 is going to get in the top 10, though. Because it made 41.5 this weekend.
Really?
That's the biggest opening of the trilogy, compared to the originals.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I looked at that one and said, no thanks. I'll eventually see it, but it's not something I care about.
Well, I think my number 10's in trouble. I don't think Action Planet did very well.
Oh, Action Point?
Action Point.
It made $2 million. Apparently, it's one of the worst, like, over 2,000 theaters.
I tried. That was I think Ocean's 8 was on my Dark Horse, so, oopsie.
I mean, you're probably going to get a point for Dark Horse, right?
I will get a point for the Dark Horse, but I mean, Action Planet was just a show. Well, that's a 10-point slot. 1 in 10 are 10 points.
Oh, no.
So, oh, well, Action Point's done.
It's a terrible movie, though, so you...
Well, I just because of Johnny Knoxville in it, I figured Bad Grandpa did well. Jackass. I thought it was one of those movies.
Oh, really?
It's a good punt, you know, but... Yeah, I guess no one was interested in Jackass.
That was a block punt, okay? That's a block punt. They ran it back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Whoops. Ocean 8 feels number one. Hereditary delivers record numbers. Jurassic World 2 is roaring overseas.
Ooh.
Yeah. Actually, I think Hereditary down is a dark horse, I think.
Kevin's
and that did well.
How much did it make this weekend?
$13 million. No, I think that's that great.
Dark Horse, Crazy Rich Asians, Christopher Robin, okay. And Skyscraper.
Those are yours?
No, those are yours. Hereditary is 10 for you, Kevin.
What's that?
Hereditary is number 10 for you.
The Skyscraper, those aren't mine because I did not pick Skyscraper. For anything.
What do I
have mine.
I have number 10 for Hereditary for you.
I'll have to listen to that episode again.
Maybe I made a mistake writing
it down. Anyway, 200 episodes. Wow. Is that an accomplishment or is that a life sentence?
I think it's a life sentence for you, Kevin.
I think so. Sometimes I feel that way.
I was hanging out with you, Simon. Yeah, that's a nice guy, that's for sure.
Kevin, don't you wish you never spoke to me on the flume way back when?
What's that?
Don't you wish you never spoke to me on the flume ride way back when?
In the scum?
Yes, and we ran into Paradise Comics a couple years later.
Yeah, that was weird. I just come in and, hey, there's Simon from worked with me at Center Island.
Yeah, and we still talked, so it all worked out in the end. So, Bob, why are you still here?
What?
Why do you still come on the show?
What do you mean?
Why do you put up with me for 194 episodes?
I don't know. I like the abuse. How about that?
Kevin says the same thing. So do you enjoy the show, Kevin, Bob, or you just feel you show up for remorse?
Yeah, that's it.
There were two options there, Bob.
Krista just said happy birthday.
Oh, there you go. See? Krista cares.
That would be, let's see, James was 6, 7, 8 people. 9 and 10, including Kevin and Daniel.
On extra feet.
10 people out of everybody I know, 10 people.
Well, I phoned you at least.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I like to phone
people. My brother phoned me as well.
And that's nice. Well, I don't think he does Facebook.
My ex-wife just sent it over Facebook Messenger.
See, everybody cares, Bob. Just people forget. Yeah. You know, after a while, we just kind of like, whatever.
I'm wrong. 11 people because Dave Taylor said it about in May. He says, here's a present for you for May, for your birthday in June.
Bob, do you not have your birthday listed on Facebook?
He does.
Yes,
not.
I do.
Because I'm looking at my birthdays for today, and you're not listed.
Oh. Huh. I changed that. I don't know what happened.
So maybe people just don't know.
Yeah. They know. Wait, 12, I just had someone else. Okay, so.
Let me see if I can.
Whatever.
The cat is taking interest in this. She's coming over to. She's hanging out. The cat hates you?
Your cat hates me.
Okay, I didn't realize that, but.
My number Solo's my number two, Jurassic World 3. So Kevin's number one is Ant-Man.
Yes,
that still has a chance of doing it.
Mine's no Solo.
And Bob's is Solo.
Mine is two, right?
Yours is two. Bob's number three pick is Ocean's 8.
I'm trying to help you guys. I went and paid money again to see it today.
No, help them. All incredible money on Incredibles. Enough of that.
My Ocean's 8 is 8 number 8, right?
What?
That was not a fucking sentence. My seven. Number 8 picks. Oh, the number 7?
7.
All right.
Hey, happy birthday, Bob. I just put it on your wall.
There you go.
Oh, thank you.
Are we discussing movies today or just reminiscing, guys? What's the
point? I don't know. I thought that was the point of the show.
Well, we can run. We're having no time limit today because it's episode 200. Probably be a two-part episode for our listeners.
So I was hoping we'd cut it short. Yeah. Do we have any mail? Any mailbag?
No, I checked. Nothing. Nobody likes us.
Nobody cares.
It's in the vault. Nobody took it out of the vault.
Has anybody bought anything?
Yes.
All my stuff is in the car. And unless you guys want to talk, and I'll run to the car and get it.
Run to the car?
What about game night?
Okay, talk away. I'll be back.
Really?
What?
Game night, the one with the
Hirsten McKenna?
Yeah.
Yes, that one.
Cool. Did you watch it yet?
Find something. Oh, and I also bought the one and only season of Defying Gravity.
Okay.
Yeah. It was on Amazon. I saw it, so I go, okay, I'll buy it. There was something else I bought. The third season of, what was that law show with Harry Anderson? Thank Lord.
Yeah.
Well, having the third season doesn't mean a thing because I never bought the first and second season, so the third season just doesn't make it, this doesn't make sense.
Is it like a serialized show? Or can you watch the third season on its own?
It's on TV, before you were born, probably.
It's like a sitcom.
Oh, yeah. You can probably watch it from season three.
So you didn't have to see every episode, but there were a lot of recurring characters. And
oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, some people left certain seasons and stuff.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
Okay. How about you, Daniel? Did you buy anything?
No. I didn't see some movies at the theaters, though. Oh, Simon's back.
I'm back. I had to leave the car. I forgot.
What did you buy?
I have a good story about shopping, though.
I found a pile of DVDs in a garage sale for 25 cents each.
No, better than that.
Better than that. Free.
Better than that.
I'm with the intern, and we're shopping.
Uh-huh. He's shopping. I'm along for the walk.
And this woman goes, and I find a pile of stuff I'm interested in, and I ask her, how much is it?
No, we're not bringing that up. No. Beep.
And so the woman goes, $5.
Nope.
Can I finish?
Nope.
That's fine.
Nope.
And the intern goes, and I go like $3.50 or something. The intern's like, why don't you just give her the $5? I'm like, pardon? Are you giving her the $5? He's like, no.
No. That's how it was. She said $4, and then you said $3.50. I said $5. And you turn around and say, don't outbid me. You want to? Then you said, you want to give her the money. I said, it's for charity. He said, I don't care.
I'm not giving my money to charity. She's giving her money to charity. It has nothing to do with me. She makes her choices what she wants to do with her money. So, Kevin, how would you feel to be undermined by your friend at a garage sale?
I would say all's fair. And if you're trying to lowball her and he's hitting with the right number, it's I'd say they're his.
I'd let Bob pay for it and then steal them.
Bob didn't have any money at that time. He was out of money.
Oh, okay.
So he was trying to drive me up. So I do have a pile of DVDs I picked up at the yard sale. I can read them all because Kevin loves to make fun of me when I bought it. So you ready?
All right.
Yep.
Diane Lane and Under Tuscan Sun.
Ooh.
Dennis Quaid and The Rookie.
I love The Rookie.
Kevin Costner, Clint Eastwood, A Perfect World.
Ooh.
And hey, I found a Saffron Royal's Burt Reynolds movie called Tempted.
Ooh.
Made in Manhattan with J-Lo and Ralph Fiennes. Smother with Diane Keaton and Dax Shepard and Liv Tyler. Butcher's Wife with Demi Moore and Jeff Daniels. Swing Kids with, I have no idea, Christian Bale, Robert Sean Leonard, and Frank Wheatley and Barbara Hershey.
Sweet Kids, I remember that one.
An all previously viewed Rachel Griffith and Jonathan Pryce and Very Annie Mary. And this, she looks so young in this. Rachel Griffith. Autumn Borealis with Joshua Jackson, Donald Sutherland, Juliette Lewis, Louise Fletcher. Hey, I found an America Ferrera movie for you, Daniel. Toward Darkness with David Sutcliffe. And I keep meaning to watch Fast Food Nation, so I pick up Fast Food Nation. And I haven't been at a garage sale since. I didn't go this weekend. There was a big one down the street for me, and I didn't have time to go because I just didn't feel like it. I had enough stuff to watch, I figured.
Fair.
So that's about it. So that's what I've been picking up. So, Kevin, you've seen a movie twice now.
You know, I did buy some stuff, too.
Oh, did you? What'd you buy?
Since I only buy digital now, I bought... there were some great $5 sale items on iTunes. So I
$5? That's out of my price range.
Evil Dead 2.
Great movie.
Ooh. The Third Man.
Love it.
Ooh.
Doc Hollywood.
I love that movie.
I have been waiting for Doc Hollywood to come out on Blu-ray or DVD in an anamorphic widescreen for 30 years.
I can believe it.
28 years, at least. And so, never has. It was always, the DVD was pan and scan.
Ooh.
And crap. So, maybe 20 years. And so, I never did see it. I only remember seeing it on video when it first came out. So, here, all of a sudden, it shows up. $5 on iTunes. I also picked up Femme Fatale, which I already had in DVD,
I figured I'd get it.
You know the movie?
Yeah, we watched it and reviewed it.
Yeah. Directed by De Palma.
The De Palma movie, yes.
I love that movie. Such a great movie. I picked up the Lego movie, Batman Lego movie 2-pack.
2-pack?
Because I never had a copy. I had a copy of the Lego movie, but it's in the wrong. So I don't know what's going on with Flickster. I'll get into that maybe later when I rant about something. And then Jurassic Park was on for $5.
Nice.
Cool. So, and of course, it pissed me off because years ago I bought the Jurassic movies box set, and it came with 1, 2, and 3. And you got digital codes to download all three from iTunes. But all three of my codes only downloaded Jurassic Park 3.
Weird.
And I tried to complain, and they ignored me. So now I have 1 and 3 and World.
No two.
No Jeff Goldblum at his best.
Come on.
And then I'm contemplating. I figure before the night's over, I will have bought Corvette Summer as well.
Why? With Annie Potts' boobs? You were looking forward to them?
Yeah, Mark Hamill's other great movie.
Corvette Summer's not a great movie, Kevin.
No, it's not. But fond reminiscences of the late 70s.
I've seen Corvette Summer.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times, too.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what I bought.
Are we moving on to our big release of the episode?
We're going
to
say something. You started saying something.
What?
Are we reviewing movies, too, in this episode?
Yes!
I thought we were just doing our other things.
Okay, then we'll just do the other things.
Can review movies too. That's okay. I have no problem.
I want to get this all done. They've been sitting here too long in front of me. So let's
all right, what's the first goddamn movie?
Solo.
You mean something by itself?
Isn't it Solo a Star Wars story? Like, I need the whole title? Aaron Alderweireld, Woody Harrelson, Emilia Clarke, Donald Glover, Chewie, Fande Newton, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Paul Bettany, Jon Favreau. That's enough.
Oh, yeah, Jon Favreau was the monkey dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Bob, what did you think of Solo?
It was okay. It wasn't good. I didn't think it was great because, and I've talked to other people about this, and they agree with me, so don't start in on me when I say this, because I know you're going to. The Solo character himself was nothing like the Harrison Ford, and there was no indication that he was even going to be like Harrison Ford in the future. So I was sort of disappointed in that.
But wasn't there...
Other characters...
I'm sorry, are you finished?
No, other characters were okay, but, the movie is sort of... It was okay, there was nothing really special about it. they were hyping it all over the place, so I was sort of disappointed in it.
So out now of 10, what did you give it?
What?
Out of 10, what, out of what 10? Did you give it? A 5?
I say a 7.
Six. So we agree on it then.
Well, you mean you gave it a 6?
I gave it a 6.
Oh, yeah, but your 6 is not the same thing as my 6, because your scale is your scale is different.
But I have to agree with you. I mean, but my first argument with you would be Alden Ehrenreich's not supposed to be Solo in the sense that he's going to be Harrison Ford. The character, sure.
He's supposed to have some of the attributes of Solo, like the wisecracking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But he's not.
There was nothing indicating that he was, like, Solo.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you.
Finally.
That was probably my biggest complaint with the movie, that he didn't do anything for me. I just thought he was dull.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, maybe Kevin and Dan would have a thing. I mean, I liked Woody Harrelson just acted circles around him. So did Thandi Newton for the short period she was in it. But Donald Glover steals this movie for me.
Yeah.
I think he's really good.
Just works right for me on all levels. I mean, I'm upset that the Paul Bethany character was a recast. I'd like to have seen what they were going to do with the guy from The Wire and the creature they were going to give us instead. I think that would have been more interesting. And I wanted the Lord Miller film more than anything else. I don't like Ron Howard as a director. I've never really ever enjoyed one of his films. I always think they're okay. And I came out of this, I'm like, okay, yeah, another Ron Howard movie. I just don't like him as a director. He doesn't take any chances. I find he has no sense of style. What I'm going to get is what I got. It's okay. Nothing ever is going to be better from him for me.
Feels super safe, right?
Yeah, he's a safe director. He's not going to do anything challenging.
Like, I thought it was like the most like studio Star Wars kind of thing. It's just safe.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine, but like I love heist movies are one of my favorite subgenres, and I don't know, it just didn't do a lot for me. But yeah, Donald Glover was really good, and he was like the best part.
Well, I think that's why I gave it a 6, because otherwise it would have been a little lower than that, because he sort of upped the movie a bit.
Yeah.
For me.
Well, what do you think, Kevin?
Well, I think I liked it more than you guys did. I think I went into this film thinking, why does this movie need to exist? Why do we need to know about Han Solo's backstory? And I left wanting to know more. I enjoyed this immensely. I enjoyed the fact that it was a heist movie and an underworld movie set in the Star Wars universe, seeing a side that we don't normally see. I'm sick and tired of the Jedi and the overwrought Fate of the Universe movies that we get every other time, especially after the last one, which I thoroughly hated. If we're talking about movies that people love that other people hated, I hated The Last Jedi, as you know. This to me was Star Wars. When he gets, like, I would say maybe the first half an hour of it, it's clunky. It takes a long time to find its footing. But then he arrives at the cantina and it's Star Wars. The playing the car game, the aliens are around. One of the aliens is giving him side eye on his cards. I love it. I love that casual interaction with aliens and Han Solo. And like, so Alden and Donald didn't have to recreate Harrison Ford and Billy Dee Williams. That would be way too hard for them to do. But they had to play Han Solo and Lando Calrissian. And I thought both of them did a great job getting across the essence of those characters. So I don't have an issue with him not being like Harrison Ford. He's Han Solo. He's not. Harrison Ford is a whole other can of fish. I don't think he had a lot of personality to Han Solo over the years. I think that's why he was eager for him to be killed off. I think I don't think Harrison Ford cared about it until they cast this movie and he started thinking about, oh, I kind of do care about where Han Solo comes from
and had lunches with the kid and gave him advice and gave him a sense of his backstory. And I think the kid does a good job. I got no issues. Like, basically, when he gets behind the cockpit of the ship, the movie really is firing on all cylinders, I think. And it's fun.
Okay.
I can see that.
I don't know, for me, it's just bland.
That's what I mean. I heard that he was giving him pointers on the character, and that's why. And I was hoping for that to show in his presentation, but I didn't feel it.
But I don't think he said, play him like me. I think he said, play him like you, but remember, this is where Han came from, in my mind. This is where I was thinking Han was like, and this is his position. Like, he's younger, so he doesn't have the years of experience that we have when we meet Han, and he really doesn't learn a lesson until the very end of the film, when he faces off with Woody.
True.
And he's still naive. He still thinks that Kira is going to fall for him and do what he wants. And I thought she was I had a hard time reading her, but I think that was the point. That she was very skilled at getting people to think they knew what she was thinking.
Sure.
But really had her own agenda.
Amelia Clarke's really good, too.
She's a great actress. And I'm curious to see how this will continue, because you know that they want to do more.
Do you think they have a sequel to this one, just because it's probably going to be the first Star Wars movie to lose money?
So he signed on for 3 movies, at least. So I think they want to do the Avengers with early Star Wars, based on what I'm seeing. Because the next movie they're talking about is early Boba Fett, and then they're talking about doing that Obi-Wan movie. So maybe they'll reassess after the overall. Again, when we talk about failure with Star Wars, like, they're going to lose maybe $50 million on this movie.
Sure.
But it'll make the money back, because people will continue downloading it and watching it for years to come. Like, Star Wars eventually, I don't think you can lose money on Star Wars. I think you can lose initially, but you'll eventually get it back.
Okay. Who signed on for 3 movies?
Alden Ehrenreich.
Oh, okay.
Ehrenreich?
Yeah.
And I think Junis is hired on basically forever. Yeah. They have him on contract for Chewbacca for every movie as long as he wants to do it. He loves it. Him at Orlando. He says it's the thrill, like the most thrilling thing you can imagine. He's Chewbacca. He gets to bring that. And I think when Chewie's in this movie, then it feels more authentic.
Yeah, that, like, when he met Chewie, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite part, or at least one of them.
I like their interactions, too. Like, you know, Chewie's blah, 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 and he's like, really, you're 190 years old. That's pretty amazing. You look great.
True.
Like, I like those little bits. And what did you think about the big reveal of the villain?
The hologram? Spoil it?
Go ahead. We spoil everything.
Yeah. Darth Maul?
Who was it? Yeah, it was Darth Maul.
Yeah, I forget how he played into it, like, because I can't remember Phantom Menace that well, but like, it was like, oh, hey, that was kind of cool to see him, though.
No,
it's so Phantom Menace, he's cut in half.
Yes.
Falls down a pit.
Yeah. I just can't remember his, like, backstory that well.
There was no backstory.
There wasn't one.
Oh, no? Okay.
Guy with 2-ended lightsabers who fought really well.
Oh, okay.
Where he was the apprentice to Lord Sidious.
Sounds good.
But I don't know if any of you guys have watched Clone Wars.
I've heard what happened, but go ahead.
To me, this rewards the fan. This is a fan movie, right? And it's a lot of ways, because it rewards the people who watch it all. So if you'd watched Clone Wars, and even if you watched Rebels, you know that Darth Maul survived Phantom Menace. He survived being cut in two. He basically fell into a pit in Naboo, and he was salvaged, or he was attached for a little while to a cybernetic spider legs. And he survived in the sewers beneath Naboo. And his brother finds him there when his brother is recruited by the Emperor to be his new apprentice. And the two of them, like his brother basically pulls him out of madness and gives him robot legs. And the two of them decide to organize the underworld. And they become crime bosses, which is where he is. So if you're watching, you're going, holy shit, I can't believe Darth Maul. But it makes total sense that he would be this bad crime lord during this time period, if you're aware of it. And then the rest of the audience would be like, what the hell? How did this guy survive being cut in half? And I love that they brought Ray Park back for it, too.
Well, they should have. I heard it wasn't Ray Park doing the voice. It was the guy from the cartoon.
No, Ray Park did the same thing for the... So Ray Park did the physical acting. Sam Witwer, who was the voice of Darth Maul on the cartoon, was the voice on the in the hologram.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, like...
I forgot what the timeline was, so I didn't realize he was supposed to be dead. And so now it makes sense that there's, like, robot legs under him, right?
Yeah, because I saw it with two people who don't watch any of that stuff, and they're like, is this before he became the Emperor's Apprentice? I'm like, no, those movies were, like, 30 years in the past.
Okay, true.
That was long, he's long since been cut in half and somehow survived on his own. But I think they're, like, just kind of, like, to see the, you know, we know there's warring gangs, right, vying for control of the underworld. What? And so we can sort of see that, you know, the Hutts are one, right? So we don't necessarily need to see the origin of Jabba the Hutt, because we know he was around in the Phantom Menace days as well. But I think that they totally can to go and say, okay, we're going to do this Boba Fett movie and see how Boba Fett goes from being this kid on the run with the mercenaries to becoming... the baddest bounty hunter in the galaxy. And we have Obi-Wan on the deserts of Tatooine protecting young Luke. But all this stuff could converge, and you could have, like, all of these different storylines playing in against each other while this is going on, and have, like, a pre-Star Wars Avengers type of film with Obi-Wan and Boba Fett and Han and Chewie and Kira and Darth Maul, and all these characters interacting.
Yeah, fair. Are people actually interested in a Boba Fett movie? Or Boba Fett movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. The guy that directed Logan wants to do it, Mangold.
Yes.
Okay, now I am. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, that makes it a hell of a lot more interesting.
Yeah, James Mangold. Yeah,
we think we'll do a Boba Fett movie. I don't know, I think this is like, how does Boba Fett become very cool?
I mean, it's like a bounty hunter movie. That would be pretty cool with Mangold directing.
Yeah. And I think that would be an interesting film.
I don't know if you
bring back Daniel Logan or not.
Still my favorite.
What's that?
Boba Fett's my favorite character still in Star Wars.
He's a great character, but he was, like, totally wasted in Return of the Jedi.
Well, I don't think Lucas liked him and just figured, let's get rid of him quickly.
Kind of. I loved how they introduced him on the Christmas special.
Oh, yeah, the cartoon?
Yeah. And that was a great story, because you didn't know where he was. What was Boba Fett's rationale? He was working for Darth Vader, but you didn't realize he seemed to be, like, a friendly person. He was, you know, I guess Luke and Han and Chewie were all, or not Chewie, but some of them were infected with something. And then C-3PO had to help Boba Fett and Luke. I don't know, it's been a long time. That was a shitty cartoon special.
No, I know. I'm like, I remember watching at your house and I don't remember any of it, so.
Yeah, the whole, everything except the cartoon is good.
Okay.
When was this cartoon special?
So in 1978, before Star Wars became Star Wars, it was still a popular film, but it wasn't what it was at the time.
Okay.
So the networks optioned with 20th Century Fox to do a Christmas special. And it's literally the first half an hour is three people as Wookiees talking to each other in Wookiee speak.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's like Chewbacca's wife, his father and his son, and they live in the trees of Kashyyyk. So his wife is cooking dinner, so she watches videos with Harvey Korman on how to make dinner.
Not Grandpa, then, though.
What's that?
Grandpa's the best.
Yeah. And then Grandpa puts on his porn helmet. And this is a network special. He watches I can't remember her first name, Carol was her last name. She's a very famous Broadway singer. Anyway, she's singing "I'm Here for You."
Is it Diane Carroll?
Diane Carroll, yes. And then he puts on, like, he watches a video with, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire and Jefferson Airplane.
Oh my God!
And then the kids playing with like Empire spaceships, and there's the local shopkeeper is played by Art Carney.
Okay.
From the Honeymooners.
Can you imagine George Lucas watching that and just losing his crap?
This sounds like a mess.
It is a mess.
But all the principal cast members appear.
Yeah, because they needed the cash.
Yeah, so like basically Han and Chewie are endlessly flying to get there, being chased by the Empire. And basically his impatient wife is calling everybody to find out where the hell he is. So it's like, hey, Princess Leia, have you seen Han Solo? But it's like, oh, is that you, Mala? Oh, what is it you want? I just don't understand what you're saying. I'm high on coke. And she's literally talking to herself like, I'm sure that Han and Chewie will be there. Please stop calling me. And then Luke has, like, the worst makeup on. He's got bad hair and everything. And he gets hit with gas, and R2's trying to help him. And he's like, hey, Mala, I just don't know where she is. Happy Life Day. I hope everything is really good for you. And, I don't know, then they throw on the TV and they watch Tales from the Cantina. Then came Maude, you know, from Golden Girls.
Okay.
Do you know Beatrice,
Arthur?
Yeah. Okay. Arthur comes on and she's running the cantina on Tatooine.
Oh my God.
And she's, you know, the Empire's imposed curfew, so she sings German beer hall songs while they're all leaving. Goodbye, my friend. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Enough. I don't want to hear any more of this bad thing.
I love that they actually use cat footage from Star Wars to play on some of the stuff in the background. So some of the stuff that they used in the special editions.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, and it ends with a coke-addled Carrie Fisher singing a song to the theme from Star Wars, celebrating Life Day with the Wookiees. They couldn't afford a million Wookiee costumes, so they took Planet of the Apes masks and put them on people with hairy mutt and mittens, and they added a little extra hair to them. And they all wear robes and carry candles. And then they go through they take LSD, and they all end up on this single area of some planet. And there's Princess Leia, Luke, Han, Chewie, R2, and C-3PO. And they're singing the song, the Life Day song. And she's like, we celebrate this day of life, blah, blah. And so we go to heaven and we sing this song. It just, like, she picks the tune from Star Wars up as she's singing. It's just amazing. It's like the most amazing thing you'll ever see. And Lucas hit it for like 20 years.
I do not want to watch that at all.
Oh, yes, you do.
It's totally worth it. I guarantee you, in a weird kind of crack-addled, dystopian crack, I don't know, weird lens version of Star Wars.
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, yes, you are.
And then they do the cartoon where they do show Boba Fett.
Oh, my God.
Water planet. You it's right actually kind of like...
I found it.
We all share with you the hope that this day brings us closer to freedom and to harmony and to peace.
It's Life Day.
No matter how different we appear,
yes,
we're all the
I'm trying to find her singing for Dan.
There he is. Oh,
when she says we celebrate the love.
Enough of this.
It's on YouTube, so you'll have no problem finding it. It's on YouTube.
That's like the, you know, that makes Solo look awesome.
It does. We move on now.
So I wouldn't give it a 6. I'd give it an 8.
An 8?
Because I think it's pretty solid Star Wars. It doesn't have to be, Star Wars doesn't have to be epic.
I agree.
It can be Solo. If it needs to be.
Yeah, I'm in the 6 range for me.
There you go, Kev. You're right out of the limit. Moving on to Bob's favorite pastime. A movie about...
I
didn't say that. I said Bull Durham.
Okay.
Baseball. Comedy.
Oh, baseball. Okay.
Romance. Kevin Costner, Susan Sarandon, Tim Robbins.
Why are we doing a Video Vault movie?
Oh, because I got them in the wrong order?
Yeah, Video Vault movie.
We
open the door.
I'm sorry. What are we doing? Overboard? Isle of Dogs? Well, you guys didn't make that good list. Blockers?
You made the list.
Isle of Dogs. Bill Murray. Bryan Cranston.
Ed Norton.
Bob Balaban. Jeff Goldblum, Ed Norton, Greta Gerwig, Frances McDormand, Scarlett Johansson, Harvey Keitel, F. Murray Abraham, Yoko Ono, Tilda Swinton, Ken Watanabe, Fisher Stevens, Liv Schreiber, Courtney B. Vance, that movie, Angelica Houston, and Roman Coppola.
Goodbye.
Wes Anderson. So, Bob, what did you think of Isle of Dogs? Since it's your birthday, you get to go first again.
Be-do. I was expecting not a good one, considering the director that I don't like his normal movies on. I
absolutely hate Wes Anderson.
Yes, I do. However, it wasn't that bad. I sort of enjoyed it, although the animation was I liked. The voices fit the dogs, and I was like, it was interesting. I liked it as a whole. Can't really explain much more, but it was good. I was pleasantly surprised, considering the director.
Did anybody else watch Isle of Dogs besides me?
No.
I saw it.
Okay, Cap, go ahead.
I watched it today. I enjoyed The Fantastic Mr. Fox. I thought that was a great film. Very quirky sensibilities, and some of that was on display in this film. The animation is fantastic. I really enjoyed it. You know, basically there's a, starts off with an ancient tale of the Kobayashi clan who loves cats, wants to get rid of all dogs, and all the dogs were banished to a certain thing and they were sick. But then a young warrior comes forward and saves the dogs and dogs flourish. And so it's 20 years in the future from now and the dog flu is affecting dogs. They're getting sick and they're getting angry, and so the Japanese government decides to banish all of the dogs to an island where they store trash. And then a young boy who is the son of the, is it the mayor or I can't remember, the prime minister or something? I think it's the mayor. He flies a plane to the isle to find his dog Spot, and then meets up with a group of like almost like celebrity dogs because they've all had high profile careers as like the sports team dog mascot, and you know, I don't know. Anyway, it was kind of interesting. So they team up to find Spot, who was his dog, and they also are teaming up with the people who are trying to find a cure for what's killing the dogs, and hilarity ensues.
I love this movie. I love quirky movies, and this just
I loved it, but didn't love it.
I did love it. I love the mayor. I don't think I was giving any love to Kobayashi and Atari. Flying his airplane around and him hanging out with Bryan Cranston worked perfectly for me.
I love it when the kid is speaking Japanese and the dogs are looking. Do you understand what this guy's saying?
Go back to Norton, what? Does anybody understand him? And I like how they kept trying to get him off the island. He kept, the dog kept killing everybody.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. I love the slide scene. We was looking at the slide. Bryan Cranston's like, don't do it. Don't do it. And he goes up and do it anyway. I like Greta Gerwig's character. I like how he mixed the Japanese and a translator in to help me out with the storyline. I thought that worked out. I love the animation.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the end of the film, too. I thought the film worked really well for me at the end.
I think I kind of dozed off a little bit towards the middle.
You could. I could see that. Because nothing happened. And just one.
And I'm like, oh, what just happened here? I think I missed something.
So you might have missed the slide scene, or did you see the slide scene?
I don't remember the slide scene.
Oh, so that's why. Did you see the scene at the end when he finally finds his dog, Atari?
I believe so.
And I find out
there was a lot of stuff with the in the town hall or wherever it is.
Because that's the very end.
Yeah.
That's a very... No, I just like the scenes when he finds his dog and you find out Bryan Cranston's origin very quickly and how that all works out. I just thought it was really well put together. I thought the voice acting was very strong.
Yeah.
And I gave it a solid 7 on this film. Probably my favorite of the year so far.
The 7 is your favorite of the year?
Oh, 7 out of 10? That's a pretty good score for me.
Really? Well... Avengers is an
interesting. Oh, you're right. Avengers ran 8, so Avengers is number 1. This is number 2.
Or Deadpool 2.
No, I hated Deadpool 2.
Okay.
That was silly nonsense.
Uh-huh.
I still don't think Ryan Reynolds can act. No, I just really like Wes Anderson as a whole, but I mean, I'm a big quirky guy fan. And I like those kind of films. It did a lot. And I like Fantastic Mr. Fox, too, but I love Rushmore. I like almost every one of his films, but two. Didn't like George Gerling Limited, and I didn't like Life Aquatic with Steven Zissou. But parts of it I did like.
Yeah, I didn't care for... what was the one where they were camping?
Oh, Bob hated that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what it's called, but I did like it.
I hated it.
Bob hated that movie. I loved it.
Hate is not even a word to describe how much I disliked it.
I loved it.
Yeah, you would.
I was in Blockers next, or Cargo, or Revenge. You guys tell me. Or Gringo.
What? Cargo.
Cargo. Martin Freeman. And his baby.
I've not seen it.
You could.
His baby and some Maori.
Yeah, I gotta look up. Well, the intern doesn't send me sheets anymore, so I have to look this stuff up. Anthony Hayes, hello. Susan Porter, and Karen Paritis.
Who saw this one?
I did. Dan was.
I watched too.
I did too.
So, Dan, take it away.
Jeez. Sorry, I just finished watching it a bit ago. I thought it was good.
Really?
I thought it was sweet. At first, I didn't really understand really the motives of the big guy, but I think performance-wise, Martin Freeman is really good. I liked the girl who played Toomey, because apparently it was her debut.
Who, the girl that was Vic's wife?
No, the young wife. The young girl.
That was a girl?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was surprised, too, because I was like, oh... This is this guy and his daughter. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I didn't realize that was a girl.
I thought the infection was weird, though, because it kind of just looked like they had marmalade on their eyes. And that was weird for me. And the plot was fine. It's kind of, I'm used to it a bit, but I thought it was interesting that, like, it's basically like Bilbo has to go on another adventure, but he has to find someone to take care of his kid kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I liked it, though.
Which I think
Kevin?
I just watched it last night. It's a, you know, another zombie movie. I'm kind of tired. Are we not sick of zombies at this point?
I am.
Yep. It depends on fatigue, right?
The only thing I thought that was interesting in this was that it was set in Australia, so you had this in New Zealand. I don't know which one. And then, but essentially, you know, he's infected. He's going to turn into a zombie, and he has a baby, and he's got to get his baby to some kind of safety. He thinks he's found people, but it turns out it's a ruse. The guy is basically tricks some woman into pretending that she's his wife. And he uses living people to attract zombies so he can kill them and steal their stuff. So that when society rebuilds, he can sell stuff.
Oh, okay. I didn't pick up on that.
He tells you that.
Sorry?
He tells you that.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I missed motivation. Okay, that's his motivation. That makes sense to me now. Okay, I bet.
And then the zombies, they hide their heads in the ground until they hear noise, and then they pop up to eat people.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. I didn't really get that either.
But what I did like the idea of the Maori people being painting their faces with white paint and being like ghosts and going out there to kill zombies and purify the earth. Ooh. I thought that was kind of interesting.
What was that?
But the movie itself was, I think the only thing really to see is in Martin Freeman's performance.
I thought the spearing part with the Maori people was really cool. Like when they just throw spears at the zombies.
Yeah.
Well, did they call them ghosts?
They don't get bitten that way.
Well, it's the girl says to him, I'm going to put this paint on, and when I put this paint on, they can't see me.
Oh, yeah.
You smell like zombie, and so I have to put some of this on the baby so the baby doesn't smell like you.
True.
So there's that aspect of it. You know, I thought it was kind of interesting, but it was like, again, I there's no real reason for this movie to exist other than Martin Freeman gives a good performance.
Really. I wouldn't watch it again, but like, I don't think that Netflix has made a lot of good movies, and by default, this is probably the best one I've watched.
Well, it's better than the Adam Sandler movie.
True. That we got, yeah.
I just found this film boring. I love Martin Freeman. I mean, he didn't have a lot to work with, I thought, script-wise. I didn't think there really was a script. It sort of said, we're going to do this plot point, this plot point, this plot point, and start walking.
Right.
I did like the ship aspect. He lived on a boat. I liked that they had the other boat, and he got to stop. I thought that his wife dying early kind of annoyed me because I wanted just maybe a little bit more interaction with her, but her dying, I guess, expelled the plot, made them go, and made them go forth.
I didn't get why she went back to the boat.
Well, she was looking for stuff. I think because he said it was safe, it was okay for her to go. And she was looking for a razor.
Like, why would she go back if he already salvaged everything?
I was thinking the same thing.
So that was stupid for me.
And to me, is that Vic had no purpose as a character. He just sort of shows up. And you know it's too early in the movie for him to give the baby to Vic, so you know there's going to be a problem, so he has to go figure out the problem.
Yeah, and then Lorraine or whatever was really uncomfortable around him. And it's just like, because he was kind of a weak character, too.
And Lorraine, I mean, I thought, okay, maybe they'll escape and something will happen there, but nope, she dies. I'm like, okay, here we go. And then he turns into a zombie. I'm like, okay, this movie needs to wrap up. Here are people I don't know. Have my kid. I'm going to die. Have a good day. And that's really the whole movie.
Why did that one family, like, why did he decide to kill them like the Mist, right? That was kind of weird for me.
Well, they decided the father was bitten.
Yeah, and then he's just like, okay, I'm just going to kill my family because I don't want them to suffer. Because they couldn't survive without him, I guess. So that was a weird strategy.
We never gave him a chance.
No. So I would be like, oh, hey, wife, you take care of them. You're capable.
Yeah, well, that would have been my argument, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
It would have been, I don't know. I didn't enjoy it. I don't know. These Netflix movies need to get better.
Near the end, I really liked the chemistry he had with Toomey, though.
I did. I wish the movie started with him and Toomey.
And it was really sweet when he was like, oh, will he take care of her, like, Nita, Bita, or whatever the word was in Mari. And then, I don't know why, it was just the cutest thing when, like, he, like, kissed Rosie, and then she was, like, or, like, put his forehead against hers, and she was, like, trying to kiss his nose, or whatever the baby was doing. I don't know. It was cute.
Okay.
I wouldn't watch it again, though.
But. No, I'm not watching this again.
No.
It got good reviews when it first came out, and I saw it went, eh. These guys like movies more than I do. Moving on, Blockers. I have two daughters. Maybe this is the movie for me, Dan. What do you think?
No, not take them to this.
Leslie Mann, Karen Newton, Gina Gershon, John Cena, Gary Cole, Hannibal Buress. That's enough people that I recognize. Bob, what did you think of Blockers? Bob did not watch Blockers. Wow. He must have been busy.
I don't have a working DVD player anymore.
Oh, well, it's at the theaters, Bob, not on DVD.
Yeah, well, I saw other movies, so.
Oh, wow.
I was expecting, like, a crude comedy in the vein of Neighbors, but, like, I was surprised at how much heart this had.
Keep going, Dan. I'm putting the plank on the boat out for you.
Oh, I don't want to walk the plank.
You will. Yeah, I was actually
surprised. What?
Keep going. I'm making notes. I was surprised.
Let me talk, me. Okay. Yeah, I was surprised by how much heart it actually had, and it was, like, kind of sweet. And John Cena is funny. I like him. And I don't usually like Ike Barinholtz, though. Even from his Mad TV days, I'm not big on him. And, he actually had a good, I liked his chemistry with the kid's daughter, and, it was relatable that, like, he was just lonely, and, like, even John Cena and, like, Leslie Mann's characters didn't want to call him or anything. And I thought it was, like, I thought it was really cool that, the daughter was gay, too. So that was interesting. And, yeah. I actually ended up liking this, though, which I was surprised by just because, like, the trailers didn't do a lot for me, but I thought it was funny, and I'm surprised that I didn't think I was going to like it because it's by the people who did Neighbors, and that's pretty good. So, yeah, I liked it. It was funny.
Okay, let's get into Blockers a bit more. What was funny about this, Brian? I didn't laugh once. Not one joke I thought was funny. I thought the parents were stereotypical, annoying, dumb. Leslie Mann is terrible in every film now. I'm giving up hope for her.
Oh, really?
John Cena, I felt bad because, I mean, it just felt like very predictable plot. I'm like, I thought this was an R-rated comedy.
Okay, now I'm trying to think of what was funny.
Nothing was funny. Every joke fell flat for me. They repeated themselves at the end. Oh, no, she's texting me in group chat. Really?
It's a joke.
That was terrible. The gay daughter, like, oh, my daughter's gay. She won't do anything. I'm like, oh.
She's, like, pressured into it, right? Because she just wanted, like, the peer pressure to do it.
I just didn't get this movie. I never found anything funny. I didn't. The only people I liked the daughters. I thought they were good. I thought they had good chemistry, but the parents were terrible.
It was kind of funny that, now I'm remembering who Gary Cole was. Like, when they were doing, like, the naked hide and seek.
Yes.
Did you think that part was funny?
No. Nothing worked for me in this movie at all. Nothing.
No?
No.
Shit.
I hated it.
Oh, really?
Not funny.
I can't tell you any jokes.
Thank you, because it wasn't funny.
I laughed during it.
I'm sure you did. You laughed and paid for popcorn and drink and went to see it. That's what you're laughing about. That you're never going to get to recoup that investment.
I don't know. I like it.
Kevin, did you see Gringo?
I did.
Would you want to start Charlize Theron, Joe Edgerton, and David Oyelowo?
Mm-hmm.
And Thandie Newton again.
And that actor from District 47.
I missed somebody?
That South African actor.
Charlotte Copley?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Charlotte. And Amanda Seyfried, which was, I don't know why she was
even, right.
Why she was even in this film. Actor.
I missed an Amanda Seyfried movie.
Oh, did, poor yeah. Bob.
Oh.
Yes, you did, Bob.
The Gringo.
A lot of people missed this one, though.
It was in theaters.
Yeah. First off, let me say, I really enjoyed this movie.
Wow.
I thought it was actually very good. David is he's a middle manager working for a guy who he thinks is his friend, who's really has no respect for him and is screwing the Charlize Theron character, their co-presidents of the company. They're trying to basically get into markets with medical marijuana before other companies, before it's legalized.
Correct.
So they had been working with drug dealers in Mexico to get the product out and make some money, and they've decided to stop selling to the drug dealers, except the drug dealers don't want to stop getting the product. So they're terrorizing. So, and since a high number of people get kidnapped and go missing all the time in Mexico, Harold finds out that he's being screwed over and decides to fake a kidnapping and try to extort some money from his old ex, not friend, and the company. So it just becomes a comedy of errors where, a whole bunch of crazy things happen along the way. And there's a question of whether there's a life insurance policy or there isn't. And will his boss pay for him or not? And his boss is having an affair with David's wife, played by Thandie Newton.
Right.
And it's just like a lot of twists and turns and betrayals and so forth. And it involves the police and the DEA and drug dealers and company people. And speaking of Night Court, who's the actor from Night Court that was in this movie? He was in Ferris Bueller as well.
Alan Ruck?
Alan Ruck, yes.
He is in it.
Ruck is in this. There's a funny, very funny scene where Charlize Theron is trying to sell Ruck's character on the
cannabis pills.
What's that?
Oh, sorry, the medical marijuana pills or whatever? Okay.
So she uses a lot of innuendo in her talk. So she says basically she wants to get him to sign the deal that night. So he says, I tell you what, why don't we just go and dance? Like she used an analogy of the only people that want to dance to the very end of the thing are the people that want to go home and have sex. That Far finds out to have sex with. And so he says, I think I'd really like to just dance to the end of the night if possible, and then we can figure it out after. And she's like, so whip it out. Show me what we're working with. He's like, what?
But yeah, she does. Like,
so it's quite it's a funny scene actually. She's just like, take it out, show me what you got. And if it's not what I think is good for me, then we'll go back to business. And he just can't do it. He's like, I can't. he chickens out.
Right.
But no, I thought it was very well acted. I liked the twists. I mean, it's not like a Oscar-winning movie or anything like that. It's just a heist movie with drug dealers and so forth. So kind of like Once Upon a Time in Mexico or like a Robert Rodriguez type of film, but with better actors. So, I don't know.
I do have one question for you, Kevin.
Yes.
What's the best Beatle album?
Oh, right.
It's not Sergeant Pepper's.
That's like the big joke of this movie. It's not bad.
Yeah, that's funny. The drug dealer turns to the other guy and says, you know, do you think Sergeant Pepper's the greatest album of all time? And the guy's like, no. And he's like, finally. I mean, seriously, Mr. Kite, you know, building a something, building a room or whatever it is. It's like, who cares about this stuff? And then the whole thing with the sitar, ugh, you know, like, not the best album of all time.
I like parts of this movie. I thought Charlize Theron was very underused, except for that one scene with Ruck.
Mm-hmm.
I find she's just sort of in it. And same with Edgerton. I think he's a better actor than the script. But
Edgerton was wasted, I thought. But Charlize was executive producer on this film, so
she
chose the level of involvement.
Okay, then that's fine. But I thought David Oyelowo was excellent.
Yeah.
I wish it was a stronger script. I really thought all the actors did a good job with what they had to work with. But I was upset. I just wanted more to this film. I thought part of the issue was the money issue. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have a lot of money behind it.
Yeah.
So, and I think that shows at the end of the film. Like, parts of this film, I think it should have had more money, and I think it would have worked better.
What I got, I liked. But I would have liked more. I would have liked more meat to it.
Yes.
I would have liked better motivations.
Yes.
Absolutely. I thought it took a while to get started, like plot-wise.
But I think we kind of needed that to get the feeling of the Joel Edgerton character. Like, we had to not like him.
Yeah.
Like, you had to understand what a swarmy little dick he was.
And he was still semi-likable in certain scenes.
Yeah, so I think we kind of need that, because for the end of the film to work, we have to not like Edgerton or see him screwing over his friend.
Yeah, like when he was talking about him in the restaurant, because that's like, he thought they were, he liked, Oyelowo thought that he liked them, and then found out they just, how he talks about them behind his back.
Well, I like the scene when Shallan was hanging out with Edgerton and Thandie Newton shows up and goes, how'd you lose all that weight? Let me see it. I'm like, wow, Charlize Theron is showing what a great actor she is. I just play this complete bitch in this movie.
Sure.
And she's just so impressed with me as an actress more and more in things I see her in.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Gringo's a weird one. I'd say see it or don't see it. It's kind of, you're going to have to decide. I didn't love it.
But I think it's a good Netflix movie.
Well, it would have been better in Cargo, that's for sure.
I was bored for, like, see, I saw this, like, 3 months ago, and I was bored for some of it, and I remember liking some of it.
Did you run out of popcorn, Daniel? Is that the problem?
What?
Did you run out of popcorn?
No.
Okay.
I saw it, like, 3 months ago.
Okay.
So I don't know what you mean.
Moving on. Tune in for the exciting part 2 of episode 200.